Englandy. This is the moment the crowd have waited for. Just look at him go.
Congratulations, Catherine, on your wonderful performance in winning the gold medal in the 400 metre event of the Commonwealth Games.
Ian Thorpe really going for it. 3:40.17. This is absolutely amazing.
Tracy Wickham, a great world record here in Edmonton, and there it is, a world record.
The Diamonds Commonwealth drought has broken.
The hockey revolution has a golden uprising.
Adam Ayres, congratulations, and a games record. Adam Ayres has got a hat-trick of gold medals at the Commonwealth Games.
This is something to savour, something to remember for the rest of your life.
Get set, Australia. Welcome to Gold Coast Gold. Here's your host, Dave Colbert.
Hello and welcome to episode 15 of Gold Coast Gold. I'm David Colbert. This is the final episode from the Athletes Village at the World University Games in Taipei, which wrapped up this week. For 8 of the 16 sports here, the focus now turns fully to the Gold Coast Commonwealth Games. We'll take a look at the highlights and meet with one of Australia's leading table tennis players, Hemming Hugh, for a fascinating chat about the pressures of international competition and the demands of being an elite athlete. Plus something a little lighter, but you'll have to listen to find out what special talent Hemming has aside from his table tennis skills. But before we do that, as we count down with just 30 Fridays to go to the Gold Coast Games, let's take a look at the headlines from another big week in Commonwealth Games news. We'll start with the World University Games, where Australia's Uni Roos won 4 gold, 3 silver and 2 bronze medals to finish 17th on the medal tally. The emerging Opals won the basketball gold medal and unearthed some serious potential senior Opal talent. The team beat the USA in the quarterfinal before downing the host Chinese Taipei in the semi-finals in front of 18,000 fans at Taipei Arena. The young side then demolished Japan to win the gold medal in a fantastic display. Melbourne's Shaun Whittaker was the star of the pool, claiming last stroke wins in both the 100 metres and 200 metre backstroke events. Teammate and dual Commonwealth Games gold medalist Leaston Pickett was just shaded in the final of the 50-metre breaststroke to claim silver. She will now set her sights on a rare achievement in Australian sport, winning 3 successive Commonwealth Games gold medals in that event next April on the Gold Coast. In athletics, Australian Catholic University classmates Kyle Cranston and Alicia Burnett both take home medals for show and tell. Cranston mastered the decathlon to take the gold medal, and Burnett took the silver medal in the heptathlon. Rio Olympian Brittany O'Brien claimed silver medal with US-based Emily Meaney in the 10-metre synchro platform diving competition. They too will set their sights on the Gold Coast. And Bundaberg's Taryn Kolchewski spun her way through some atrocious wet weather conditions to claim the bronze medal in the women's discus. We'll talk more about the World University Games when we speak with table tennis star Hemming Hugh later in the program. In other news, in netball, the Diamonds are off to a strong start in the netball quad series with wins over England and South Africa in the first 2 matches. In a dream debut for Australian skipper Caitlin Bassett, she enjoyed a near-perfect shooting display to lead the world number one Diamonds to a 54-50 win over England in Brisbane. And the team then kept their 54-year unbeaten streak over South Africa alive, despite a major scare in Canberra to run out 58-52 winners. The series now heads to New Zealand, with Australia playing the Silver Ferns. In athletics, Damien Birkenhead has thrown a new Australian record in the shot put. The Colossus of Corio in Victoria threw 21.35 metres in Zagreb to beat the mark held by his coach, Melbourne Commonwealth Games discus gold medalist Scott Martin. Birkenhead finished 5th in Glasgow, but faces stiff competition on the Gold Coast with New Zealand's reigning world champion Tom Walsh of New Zealand, the man to beat. And Sally Pearson concluded her incredible comeback season, which included that world championship victory in London, by taking the win at the IAAF Diamond League final in Zurich. She returns home to the Gold Coast to get ready for her home games. And javelin thrower Kelsley Roberts and young pole vaulter Curtis Marshall both delivered personal best performances in Zurich to close out their 2017 seasons. In boxing, the world titles are underway in Hamburg, Germany, with Commonwealth Games silver medalist Big Bad Joe Goodall guaranteed a world championship medal after a semi-final win in the super heavyweight division. In triathlon, Gold Coast nominee Ashley Gentle produced a brilliant run to finish third in the ITU World Series race in Stockholm. The 26-year-old from the Gold Coast now turns her attention to the World Series final in Rotterdam in mid-September. In the men's race, Rio Olympian Aaron Royal finished in eighth. Australia's wrestlers have returned from the United World Wrestling Championships with experience to help them at the Gold Coast Commonwealth Games. Three-time Australian champion Connor Evans was the highest-placed finisher in 18th in a tough draw that saw him go down to the eventual silver medalist from Russia. The team will now turn their attention to the Asian Indoor and Martial Arts Games in September. And the match schedule for the Gold Coast basketball competition has been unveiled, with Tansville and Cairns to host the opening matches of the tournament. The top-seeded Australian Opals will open their account on day two in Townsville against fourth seeds Mozambique, while the Australian Boomers' first game will be against Commonwealth Games basketball debutants Canada in Cairns on the same day. The semi-finals and the medal matches will be held on the Gold Coast from the 13th to the 15th of April. And that's this week's Commonwealth Games news. We're here in the Athletes Village at the World University Games, our final edition of Gold Coast Gold, and we're joined by Hemming Hugh from the men's table tennis team, well, the table tennis team, in fact. And Hemming, thanks for your time. Great to see you here. You've enjoyed your time here in Taipei.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. I've definitely enjoyed my time here. Just been enjoying Taipei for the last couple of days now that I'm out of the competition since the 26th.
What's been your impressions of the World University Games?
It's big. So that's my first thoughts. Look, I've been to the Commonwealth Games in 2014 and the Olympic Games in 2016. So I think it's just, I wouldn't be able to say it's as big as the Olympics, but it's, you know, very comparable to the Commonwealth Games. Some say it's bigger. It's hard for me to say, but yeah, it's huge.
What about the competition here? The level of competition's been, you know, pretty strong in table tennis, isn't it? It's not Olympic standard, but, you know, probably stronger than the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good players here, especially from the Asian countries, from countries like Russia, some of the European countries as well. I think a lot of these players are full-time professionals as well, I think. So just I think the level is, yeah, it's quite high. It's very probably could be better than the Commonwealth Games, actually.
And so how did your competition go when you're up against that sort of, you know, extreme quality, even though it is only the World University Games, and how did the team go?
Overall, I think the team went very well. So we had three girls and four boys here, including myself. Look, the team events were a bit unlucky. My teammate Kane Townsend won his two against in a clutch match. We had to play Poland for a spot in the main draw of the teams. He won his two and I lost my two that day, and one of the matches was quite close, so I was just a bit unlucky in some points and played okay. We beat Canada in one, we lost to Korea in the other, but look, overall it was quite good. The team event was, I think it was okay. The girls also, look, they were outplayed by Poland and I think it was Korea, can't remember who. But yeah, I mean, we're all sort of up the underdogs here, and we played well. In the teams, it was okay. So we moved on to the doubles. We were all lost. We were all, you know, didn't play our best, I felt. In the singles, I felt our number three and four players, Jake Duffy and Ernie Sau, they qualified through the group. So I think it was a fantastic effort by them. And they did quite well in their next matches in the main draw as well. Kane had a hard group, and myself, I felt like I had a perfect group to get through. And I just played one of the worst matches of my career, and sometimes that stuff just happens. So, I mean, I guess I was very, very, very disappointed. My recent attitudes, my recent, you know, training preparations haven't been what they used to be. That's again my own problems that I need to fix. And moving on, I just got to move on and learn from it.
So, why has that been? What's been? What, you know? Can you identify something that hasn't been going as well as you'd like it to go?
I feel like, if I'm honest, I feel like I've slacked off a bit over the last maybe couple of months. I've had a good year nationally. I've won pretty much all the events I've entered in domestically. But yeah, I mean, I felt like last year qualifying for the Olympics, and at a fairly young age for an Australian, 22, you know, not many qualify at that age for the Olympics. So I felt like it's obviously it was a huge achievement. It was one of my biggest childhood dreams come true, and it's in a way had a, if I'm honest, it's in a way had a negative effect on me. It's made me think, oh well, you know, I put a lot of pressure on myself. I'm quite obsessive with the sport, so I try to put less pressure on myself by saying, look, I don't care about this anymore. I'm just playing for fun. But then I felt like it's sort of gone south.
And how will you turn that around in the lead up to the Gold Coast? Because you played in Glasgow, so you must have been a total youngster then, 20 yeah. for the Glasgow, and in the doubles and the mix and the team competition. And with the Gold Coast around the corner, what do you think all of this is learning, and it's, you know, good that you're able to, you know, understand what you've been doing and where you might be going wrong. What do you reckon you need to do to turn it around?
To be honest, I think I need to be very, very hard on myself. I need to be tougher on myself like I used to when I was in my younger years. I feel like, I need to know what I want more, and I feel like I need to draw on my past experiences from win-loss. Like, I need to know that, okay, if I win, I'm happy, and it gives me confidence. If I lose, not to keep down, but also to be hard on myself and saying, look, I need to change something. I need to continue to work harder. I need to come back strong and bring myself, learn from it. Like, if I lose, I always learn. So I guess I need to use that in a positive way.
So let's lighten the mood a little bit and talk about how you get into table tennis. Growing up in Melbourne, I guess, like everyone else, you just play table tennis in the garage, do you? Is that how it works?
Yeah, mostly.
Like all of us, like all Aussie kids, you've got a, you know, table tennis table in either your friend's place or your house, and away you go.
Yeah, exactly. My parents are Chinese, so they started having some fun in China playing some table tennis, got a garage at home. My older brother he's 8 years older than me, so I've always looked up to him. I've followed him in whatever he's done. So he started with a lot of sports. My parents wanted to give him some sport, something to do outside of school hours. So I followed him into it. I didn't really like it at the start. I wanted to win. I liked winning. I didn't really like it at all until I tried a lot of coaches, but I got one, my third or fourth coach. He was just very good at getting kids to enjoy the sport. And since then, I've sort of enjoyed it, battled. And once I went to my first international comp, represented Australia, it was a huge sort of dream come true. And I always wanted to represent sport at a high level in some sport. And I did that, and once I saw that, I got an eye-opener, how good the international countries are. And since then, since 14, I've had that sort of dream that I want to be a good international table tennis player.
How do you move through the ranks in table tennis? So what was your first, was it a primary school competition, or is it not until secondary school that you realised that, hang on, I might be a bit better than, you know, all of the other kids that are just playing in the garage?
So there was a few years, about eight. I started at six. At about eight, nine, ten, I just played because I got forced to. So other kids my age, I was definitely one of the better ones in the state. Started competition at about eight. I was winning most of them, which kept me in. If I kept losing, I think I would have quit, but I loved winning. So I thought, you know, when I started to train really hard at 11 and 12, I started to really, you know, close the gap with me and the people that were two, three years older than me. I started to feel, okay, if I work really hard, I can be one of the best players in the country.
Table tennis, you know, I'm sure you know the 10,000 hour rule. Do something for 10,000 hours and, you know, you become proficient in it, whether it's playing the violin or, you know, diving or gymnastics. Is table tennis one of those sports that's the repetition of the, you know, what's the secret to it? How do you, mentioned you do a lot of training when you were six or eight. It's pretty young. Yeah. What were you doing at that age?
At that age, I was still sort of table height, trying to get over the table. I guess, you know, just learning the basic strokes. I feel at a young age, especially once you get older, 10, 11, 12, I feel this sport's more on the no side about just repeating for 10,000 hours. Like I'm playing some other sports as hobbies, like tennis, like, you know, a bit of football, a bit of basketball, for example. And I feel also in those sports as well, you can't just play for 10,000 hours. I feel you need, especially when you don't have much knowledge or much experience in the sport, I feel like you need to have people around you. You need to have people that have knowledge about the game. You need to be brought up with a good foundation, good technique, good understanding of the game. Otherwise, you know, it's hard to expand. I feel you need that to go far in the sport.
Table tennis is one of those sports. I'm a layman when it comes to table tennis. I know a lot about sport. So you see, you know, you can tell a good 100-meter runner. You can see a good swimmer. You can tell a good diver. Table tennis, everyone thinks that they can play table tennis. until they actually play someone that can really play. And then you realise that you've actually got zero chance.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, you guys are so far, you know, you can hit a ball with Roger Federer.
Yeah.
But if I'm playing you now across a table, I can't even get the ball back. What's the secret behind that? How can you go from being the level of the amateur to the level of the pro in table tennis seems to be so different?
I guess here is where I'll agree more with the 10,000 hours bit. Okay, 10,000 hours is really not much when you think about all the good players. But I guess once you have a good understanding, it's a small ball, you can spin it in a trillion different ways. It's different to sports like soccer where everyone can play a bit. So everyone thinks they can play a bit in the garage level, which is true. But once you get to the higher levels, you'll see that they're playing with 100 different spins, 100 different tactics, placements, and it just becomes hard when the amateur player plays the pro player. And the pro players, most of the good players, they've done things the right way for, you know, 20 years. So it's sort of, they've got 20 years of understanding on them. It's almost impossible for the amateur to beat the good players. Like, if I...
Not even beat, just to even have a rally for, hit the ball back two or three times. When you play a really good, like, one of the world-class players, number one, you know, top 10 players in the world, what's the difference between you and them?
I feel like, okay, if I compare it to, for example, if I had a game with a local amateur or my parents or something, I feel like I could, you know, always get a billion chances, time. There's so much time, I feel, because they're slower, they don't understand the game. So I could just rip the ball past them, sort of thing. But I feel like with me and the pros, like, at a certain level, everyone knows how to play forehand topspin, backhand topspin, do the basic things. But the thing with the pros is they're able to in the close moments in general, they're able to serve and return better. This is a game where serve and return and the first couple of shots are crucial. Once you go back to even the pros, if the pros came with me and just started a game without a proper serve, the difference wouldn't be that big. The difference is all in the first couple of shots, because there's so many different spins you can do on the serve, returns, things you can do as a returner serve, so many placement spins. So that's where I feel the real difference is.
And so how do you learn these? You know, if we talk to a diver, you know, they start off in land and they do break down the movements, and then all of a sudden they're up on a 10-metre plow doing a tower, doing a triple somersault.
Yeah.
How do you learn the intricate skills of the serve, for instance, and how to spin it and how to be, you know, do something that you've never done before?
I feel like you need people around you, again, that understand these things. So that's why a lot... In table tennis is one of these sports where I'm a strong believer where if you weren't a good player back in your day, it's almost impossible to be a good coach. Like, you need to have been a good player, because there's so many things that you have to understand. They can teach you these things, but then again, the player has to play so many matches, see what works, see what doesn't work for them. Through experience, they'll know, you know, and through a lot of practice, they can develop different serves, different things like this. And I guess it all comes down to experience. They, you know, the best ones in the world, they know what they can do, what serves work, and what serves will come back, in addition to what serve they do. All these things like this. It's really hard to explain.
No, I'm fascinated by it, because it's you know, it looks easy, but it's not. And
no.
You know, we did one of these podcasts with Millie Tapper in one of our very early versions, and remember she was on the Footy Show with Jack Watts, and he couldn't get the ball back. And so it fascinates me. If you had to put a percentage on Hemming Hugh? We're talking with Hemming Hugh, our table tennis champ, Glasgow Commonwealth Games, Rio Olympian. We're at the World University Games here in Taipei. If you had to put a percentage on where you're at now, where compared to where you think you can get to, where do you reckon you're sitting at 22 years of age?
No, I'm actually 23 at the moment.
Okay.
But anyway, I mean, I feel like, I know I'm young. I feel like I've been around for a very long time. And I don't know, sometimes I tell myself different things, but if you ask me how much, if I played professionally for the next 10 years, I think I've probably reached about 50 to 60% of my potential. But I mean, like, the normal Australian just won't go and, the regular Australian just won't go and do that, because there's so many factors into it.
Do you want to do that? Do you want to, and can you?
I mean, I probably won't do the next 10 years in Europe, where it's important, where it's the best place to get better. But, I mean, I can see myself doing a bit more time. But, I mean, again, I have to figure out what it is I want and, you know, how much I want those goals.
Yep. So you're also studying. What course are you doing?
So I'm studying a Bachelor of Science in Education at Monash.
Yeah. And how long have you got to go?
So I've got If everything goes to plan, I've got until the next end of next year that I'm done. Okay.
So next year's a big year, though, Commonwealth Games year. And so what do you have to do to get into the... Well, let's go back a step, because I want to talk about Glasgow and your memories of that as your first major multi-sport championship.
So in 2014, it was a different... It was a strange criteria, but I didn't really... They said the top three would go for sure, and then, you know, they pick four and five, number four and five, based on their own selections. So I wasn't in the top five in the competition, in the tryouts. The tryouts are literally just everyone play everyone, very brutal. But I finished sixth on count back, and I was taken as the young guy, so I was sort of, it was an eye opener for me. Next year the Commonwealth Trials are going to be the same sort of thing. But I'm definitely looking to finish the best. My goal is to finish number one and get myself in all the events, and yeah, be in shape for the event as well.
Yeah. And Rio, what an experience that must have been.
Definitely.
You mentioned before, you know, a lot of athletes here, you know, dream of going to the Olympics. You're one of only a few Olympians on the World University Games team. Fantastic memories.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'll never forget it for the rest of my life. I mean, the moment we had a complicated qualifying system, but unofficially I knew I was the first one going, and I was going through a very tough time in Europe, just losing the low confidence, so... The moment I qualify, I tried not to cry, but I sort of did. And I realised, you know, look, I'm going to be going to the Olympics, like, more or less. I'm going. So, yeah, it was I could never forget the moment. That was probably bigger than the Olympics itself.
Medals for table tennis players are very hard to come by, no matter what the tournament is. You know, Commonwealth Games, very strong. Our women's team have been really good. Our men, medals are tough.
Yeah.
What's the competition like for the Gold Coast for you, and where does it come from?
I think most of the competition now, I'm not sure if Singapore has their old team of Chinese players, but I'd say most of the competition comes from English players. I've spent the last two seasons in Europe, and I've seen a lot of English guys that are just there full time. It's so easy for them to travel in and out. They're putting in the hard work, and they got a bronze medal at the World Championships, which is really unreal. So, I mean, the competition is hard. It's always a dream for the Australians to get medals. Our ex-player, William Hensel, is a top 100 player, got a medal in Melbourne in 2006. So, I mean, it's every elite Australian table tennis player's dream to have that. But, look, Olympics-wise, it's hard, but it's I'd say probably not realistic, but we're there sort of to enjoy it. But Commonwealth Games, yeah, next year we're going to really... All of us boys are really going to try to... give it a shot and just be in the best shape of our life and see what can happen.
Yeah, that's good. You like tennis. You love tennis, in fact. Do you play much? Not table tennis. Tennis. You love watching tennis.
I love...
Your Instagram's got full of pictures of you and tennis players at the from Rio.
So you've been stalking me, have you?
I have. It's called research, Hemi.
So, yeah, I mean recently, especially, I feel it's new. It's got similarities to table tennis, but at a sort of elite level, it's not similar at all. But it's just like, I feel like these days I'm getting sort of, I need to reevaluate my goals, because table tennis is starting to get a bit boring for me. I feel like I'm in it just because I love winning and I'm good at it. But tennis feels like a new thing. I'm not so good at it, and it's I love it almost. I love watching it, but I feel like I definitely should be playing less.
How often are you playing, and what sort of level are you at?
I'd rather not say. Okay. No, I'm playing. Look, at my local club, playing probably 2-3 times a week. The level's not very high.
Do you find that balance? You know, I'm fascinated by the fact that I get the feeling that you're, you know that you can be a great table tennis player, but that it's arduous and it's hard, and to keep doing that. And so you've got other things going on in your life, which is great. You've got study, and you've got other interests.
Yeah.
Is that something that you've been working on, rather than just being 100% table tennis?
I mean, I was like that. I was obsessed with the sport. I mean, take it back, like, I don't know, even 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I was sort of just in love with table tennis. I didn't really play tennis back then. I could have done it. I could have woken up and practiced 2-3 times a day, four times a day, and just repeat that. There was no problem. I had huge goals. I loved it. But I guess it's taken its toll, definitely. Making the Olympics, I feel like it's as I said, it's good, it's fantastic. It's taken its toll on me, and sort of like I've achieved one of my childhood dreams. And as much as I'm trying to set, you know, future goals, it's not as easy. And I feel like I'm going through that sort of mid-career crisis as much. I don't know if that's the right word to describe it. But it feels like work for me. It feels like work, whereas tennis just feels like I don't really care, and I'm just there to have fun.
That's what happens to a lot of athletes when they get to your age, no doubt. You do impressions.
Yeah.
Are you ready? I didn't talk to you about this beforehand, so I probably should have warned you. But you do a really good Rafa, and you do a good John McEnroe, and you David Ferrer, the human metronome, the tennis player, you do a good one as well. Which one do you want to start off with?
I think I'll start with my best one, Rafa.
Rafa.
I met Rafa at the Olympic Village last year, and it's a huge sort of... He's been my idol because he's, like everyone says, he's got so much grit. He's such character. He's not one of those guys that are going around smashing his racket. He's focused. He's got a never say die attitude, and those sort of characters really inspire me. They really hit me in the heart.
Do you go to the Australian Open each year and sit on the court and watch them?
I wish I've been away from home. I've been in, you know, China, Europe a lot, so I haven't had the chance. I went 1 year when I came back, and I managed to get a Federer seat. I love Federer as well, so yeah. I mean, times like that, I watched Rafa at the Olympics, things like that. So it's been good.
All right, so give us your Rafa.
I think you could ask me a question.
You want to ask me a question? Yeah. So Rafa, fantastic game today against Roger. You must be thrilled to win in straight sets.
Well, I think that. For Roger, he is a fantastic player now, so difficult for me just to prepare for the next match and work it very hard. And I think that for sure I will be number one. Sometimes I am number one, sometimes Andy, sometimes Novak, sometimes Roger. Difficult to tell, no?
What about Stan? He looks like he's in good form as well. Stan Wawrinka?
Well, yeah, for sure. My backhand is great. I'm very happy to be in the semi-final back in London. And yeah, it is hard, and I will try my best.
That's good. I like it. John McEnroe, one of my favourites. You can't be serious. Mad, great commentator, fantastic commentator. Give us a bit of John. John, Rafa and Novak in the semi-final. It promises to be an amazing matchup.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Let's just take a little while to talk about Rafael Nadal. He's a beautiful man. Try and ask him out for a drink, and he always says... Well, I think that this is a little inappropriate, no? This is only for my girlfriend.
And what about David Ferrer? We'll finish with him, the Spaniard, who, you know, if you play him in five sets, you know that you're in for a puddle of sweat at the other end of the court. David, very tough opponent, Rafael, and you had another amazing five-set encounter.
Well, thank you very much, Rafa. And I think that... It's the most important thing to work very hard in the gym, and going to be very difficult, no?
Now, I do a lot of tennis, so I'm totally across the voices of all of them, and you've done a magnificent job of impersonating them. If you're not, you should Google Rafael Nadal, John McEnroe and David Ferrer and listen to all of them. What's the lead-up, Hemming, between now and the Commonwealth Games for you? So we're about to... hit September. We've got about 30 weeks until the Commonwealth Games. Trials before then. What do you have to do?
So I've got next month we've got the National Championships coming up. So I've never won this one, and it's a huge goal for me. So I've got to go back home, recover, and practice hard for this one. So the Nationals will finish at about end of September. And then I think it's sort of a quiet period for Australians. All the tournaments are finished October and November. There's a few tournaments that I'll play just to keep in touch with the game. Exam period for uni, so a bit of a quiet period sort of thing. November, my exams will finish, and then I plan to head straight to Germany to do a couple of weeks practice, playing one of the tournaments, playing the Finland Open, do a couple of training camps in Sweden, come back right before January where the trials are in the Gold Coast, and so we'll have the tryouts. And I haven't considered much after the tryouts. We've got to see the results, see if I make it. And then if I make it, I'll start to decide from there. But yeah, it's pretty much the plan from now.
An exciting time. Really appreciate your time. Enjoy what's left of Taipei. Not too many more days left. Closing ceremony about to come. And really enjoyed talking to you about table tennis and the Commonwealth Games. Thanks for your time.
Thanks very much, Dave.
That's it for this edition of Gold Coast Gold and the action from the World University Games here in Taipei.
Next week, we'll be back in the studio as we continue the countdown to the 2018 Gold Coast Commonwealth Games. A reminder, you can subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an edition. You can join us at Commonwealth Games Australia on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram to keep up with all the news regarding the Australian team at the 2018 Gold Coast Commonwealth Games. So until next week, thanks for your company on Gold Coast Gold.